what is the armor of God? It says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. We have armor we need to put on. Why? Because we're soldiers. Because we're in a war. The key to effective spiritual warfare, though, and this is something I want you to remember, is love. It, you know, we think about a war and you think about hate and blood and yes, it's anger and it's forceful and it's fearful and there's a lot of uncertainty. But the key to spiritual warfare is love. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." We are not meant to fight against our brothers and sisters. We are not to fight in the physical realm. My fight is not against will. There you go. It's a spiritual fight. Because you see, I am to love my fellow human being, my brother and sister. If I war against him, I'm going to sow destruction. And destruction is a plan of the enemy. Remember a few weeks back, we spoke about what is the enemy's game plan? What is the devil's game plan? It is to sow destruction. It's not God's game plan. It's the enemy's game plan. But if we do whatever we do in love, we know we stay aligned with what God has done for us on the cross. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to describe a few physical departments or actual departments of an army. And we're going to see and relate them back spiritually to see how does this work out? How does this play out? Because I strongly believe that we are struggling in our lives because we are not effectively warring as we should be spiritually. You're having problems at your work. You're having problems at your home. Your car's breaking down. Stuff's not going as you want it to go. And we think, oh, the world is against me. My problem is this child. This child is not listening when I'm speaking. My child has ADHD. My child has anger issues. I want to tell you, it's not your child that's a problem. It's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. And if we can understand the spiritual fight that we are fighting, your focus on the actual physical problem will be zoomed out and you'll see it from a heavenly, a spiritual perspective. You'll see the whole picture. And that becomes a drop in the bucket. And now you can war effectively. And what will the outcome of this be? Yes, the anger issues will be solved. Yes, the work stuff will just get resolved. Because it's almost like that is the fruit, the negative fruit that we're picking up because we're not warring effectively. Now, that doesn't mean you'll never have troubles in your life again. You will. Now, I looked this morning at our ducks on the farm and they're in this little pond and they're swimming and it's raining. And I'm thinking, why are you swimming in the pond when it's raining? You're already getting wet. And God said to me, you know that we are almost like ducks. You know, some animals are made to only be on land. They cannot swim. They cannot be in water. If they get into water, the water will actually penetrate through their feathers or through their fur or whatever they have on. It will weigh them down and they will struggle to swim, to stay afloat. But you see, we are like ducks. We are made to be on land and on water. But we think we should only be on the land because that's where it's nice. But God made us to be on the water as well, and there will be storms and the rain will be pouring. But you were made for that season. So the first one I want us to look at is the Navy. So I have gone and I have looked at the Navy and I've looked at what the Navy does. And what is in the Navy? In the Navy, you get surface ships and you get submarines. I said, God, explain, show us how this all fits together. And there is actually hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. I wanted to see how many there were to go and count them, but then I found it's not a good idea. I will be counting until today. So there's hundreds of scriptures that actually says, where God says, let your praise be on my, let my praise be on your lips. Praise is something you speak out. Praise is something that you do loudly, verbally, visually, just like a surfer ship. You know, they're on the water, they're going to war, they might be in a war, but they are visible, they can be seen. And praise is a form of spiritual warfare. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But you can also get a submarine. Now, what is a submarine? A submarine is unnoticeable and mostly undetectable. So then I went and I searched throughout the Bible. How many times did God say we have to worship in public, out loud? And it's actually only a couple of times that he actually says it in that sense. Most of the time he says it's something that you bow down to God. You make yourself smaller. You're intimate. It's in your quiet space. It's when you have intimacy with God. That's when you worship. So that is more like a submarine. But let me tell you one thing. If you recently, we watched a movie. Tom Hanks played in this movie. It was about a war with all these submarines and all these surface boats. It was quite good. It's on Apple TV. And when that missile fires from the submarine, it is really hard to detect. And by the time you notice it, it can be too late. It is that effective. And that's what worship is. It is a strategic, effective way of spiritual warfare. So how do I bring this all together? And how can I say that that is part of spiritual warfare? I want you just to think about this logically as well. We're going to look at scripture soon. If you enter your house, I remember the house that I grew up in, there was a lot of anger issues, a lot of control issues. And I remember I would enter the house. I was still a high school student. And you could feel the oppression in the house. You could feel my dad is there. He is upset. He is angry. The whole house's atmosphere has been affected by this one person. And then I would go into my room and I would close my door. And I would start to praise and worship. And I kid you not, every time I get out of that room, the whole house's atmosphere is changed. It's lifted. Why? Because it's spiritual warfare. It's a form of spiritual warfare. So I want us to look at 1 Samuel 16, verse 14 to 23. Now this is a little bit of a long piece, but I want to read all of it for you. Yes. Just for some context as well. It starts with verse 14. It says, now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Some of Saul's servants said to him, a tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Let us find a good musician to play the harp whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you. He will play soothing music and you will soon be well again. Verse 17 says, all right, Saul said, find me someone who plays well and bring him here. One of the servants said to Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he is a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, which is quite important, right? Fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him. Verse 17 says, so Saul sent messengers to Jesse to say, send me your son David, the shepherd. Jesse responded by sending David to Saul, along with a young goat, a donkey loaded with bread, and wineskin full of wine. So David went to Saul, and he began serving him. Saul loved David very much, and David became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent word to Jesse asking, please let David remain in my service, for I am very pleased with him. And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better and the tormenting spirit would go away. when he played his harp, the tormenting spirit would go away. Why? Because it's a form of spiritual warfare. You know, sometimes we enter situations, and I often do, and I say, God, I don't even know what to pray. So I praise and worship. I just praise and worship. I think about the situation, and I praise and worship. And everything changes in the atmosphere. Sometimes I feel like we underestimate the strength that praise and worship plays in our daily life. When my boys are fighting before we have to go to school, if I put it on full blast, firstly, I can't hear them fighting. Secondly, they can't hear each other fighting. And thirdly, they have to take in whatever is on that speaker, what's coming through it. They take it in. They soak it up in the spirit. And by the time we get into the car, the atmosphere has changed. Suddenly, they get along again. Suddenly, they're not bickering all this time that drives me absolutely insane. It has all changed. Where if I don't put that music on, they will be fighting all 20 minutes to the bus stop. And I will be going, very high notes in my voice to get them to stop and to get their attention. Then they go to school. Are they happy? No. I go to home. Am I happy? No, I'm extremely upset. And that's the tone for the day. But if we tap into this, it's something so easy, but yet so, so effective. It changes the atmosphere in your house. The second department I wanted to look at is medics. So what does medics do? Yes, they take care of people and there's bandages and they heal and they make sure everybody is okay and they put a plaster where a plaster needed and they do the operations and they mend everything together. And I said, God, how does this spiritually fit in with spiritual warfare? And he said to me, it's when you stand in the gap and intercession. When you stand in the gap and intercession. I said to God, help me explain standing in the gap. And I wanted an example of that. So I've got some scripture to put into perspective. And it's Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And it reads, God said, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but found no one. God was looking for somebody to intercede on that city's behalf so that he doesn't have to destroy it to prevent the destruction, but he found no one. Nobody stepped in to stand in the gap, to pray this through the situation. This morning I woke up because I said to God, give me a relevant example, something I can use. I've got many examples, but it's not stuff that I can say from over a mic. I said, God, give me a good example I can give over the mic. So this morning I woke up. And as I woke up, I remembered somebody that I grew up with, and believe me, I've got no good memories about this person. They are somebody that contributed to many things in my life. I've got no contact with them. I have not had any contact with them for the past 20 to 25 years. Zero contact. Not a Facebook friend, not an acquaintance, nothing. Zero contact. They're not part of my life. I have heard bits and pieces of their lives via people, not by choice, just because it's come across. But I woke up this morning and I had this, she's now a woman, she's not a girl, but I had this girl, because that's how I remember her. I had her in my mind, but I felt these emotions. I felt very anxious and I felt heavy and I couldn't get her out of my mind. And there were certain emotions that went with it. I said, God, what's going on? He said, I'm giving you the example you're looking for. And I realized I had to pray for this woman. Now, believe me, I will not do that out of my own because I've got no good memories about her. I've forgiven her, but she's not part of my life. But I knew that I had to intercede for her in that moment. And there's so many times that I think God uses us because we are strong. Maybe we are spiritually equipped. We are strong enough to stand in the gap for somebody else who is not strong at that moment. They might be troubled. They might be weak. And then God wants to use you to intercede and to pray for those persons. But then what do? Oh, I'm depressed this morning. Yep, putting on this cloak of depression. And I'm wearing it. I'm just depressed. And I'm upset and I'm moody and I don't feel like anything. And we miss the plot. And we fulfill a part of the scripture where he says, but I found no one. Because the moment you make it your own, you're not effectively standing in the gap anymore. Now, you're just doing the devil's job for him. You've taken something God wants to put on your shoulders to carry and pray through for somebody else, and you've made it your own. Now you're ineffective again. And you've messed up your whole day. And you don't understand yourself. And you're making people's lives around you really miserable, probably. It can also work on other scales. You know, sometimes I look at Will this past week, and I got this example while I was driving in the car to church this morning. Will has been working the past week. He's been up out of the house by 5 o'clock in the morning. He gets home after 10. We don't really see each other, and he even worked yesterday. That's why he wasn't at the prophetic session yesterday as well. He's tired. He's been by Friday, I could see it sit on him, the tiredness. And I sent him a text on Friday. I said, I don't understand what's going on with me. I'm so tired. I've got no reason to be tired. Did I have a rough week? No. Did anything in my week happen out of the ordinary? No. Did I have reason to be so extremely tired, but that by 11 o'clock in the morning, I have to go nap for 2.5 hours? No. God, what's going on here? Currently, in his physical body even, spiritually, physically, he was weak. But I am not. I am strong. I am enthusiastic. I've had an amazing week. It was my birthday this week. We've been celebrating without Will, but we've been celebrating. It's been amazing. It's been great. I am, you know, I'm ready for life. And suddenly I'm tired. So what do I need to do? I need to pray for Will. And then the tiredness lifts. Because I intercede for Will. I pray through. God, strengthen him. God, help him while he's on the shut. Help him when he's not getting enough sleep. Spark his mind, Father God, but keep him alert. Give him strength. Why? Because I'm standing in the gap. And then I want us to look a bit at intercession. I want us to look at Romans 8. Verse 26 and verse 27, and it says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Intercession is something only God understands. It pierces through the physical realm, straight into the spiritual realm, straight into God's throne. Nobody can understand it but God. So I went and I looked up this word groanings in the scripture. It's in verse 26. What is the original Greek word that was used in the scripture? And please excuse my pronunciation, I am not Greek, but it is something as stenagmos, which is derived from the word stenazo. And that means deep inward sigh or groans, often expressing pain, grief, or longing. It can also refer to sigh of relief or satisfaction. So something that Will and I were brought up with in South Africa to explain intercession, it's like giving birth. So what happens is just like when you and your husband are intimate, you don't know when that seed is actually going to, when the sperm is going to reach the seed. You don't know that moment of conception, right? So it's the same spiritually. God plants a little seed in you. You're not aware of it. God plants a little seed on you, and then you carry the seed like you're carrying a baby for 9 months. You carry the seed inside you grows. You're not even aware of it. That's why some mums, they start getting nauseous or they want to eat a lot. They don't know what's going on with their body. They're experiencing these emotions. They don't even know they're pregnant yet. The same spiritually. God puts a seed in your spirit and it grows and you start feeling emotions that you should not be feeling. It's actually, there has no merit in your life. There's no reason for you to experience this. But the load gets heavier and you're not quite understanding what's going on. And then one day when you start praying again and you start interceding for whatever's going on with you, that's almost like when the birthing process has started. And it's like a mum that gives birth. The movies don't quite do it justice or do it right. It's not quite as dramatic as they put it, and it's not yelling and screaming, but there's groanings. You know, you've got to push this child out. Spiritually, there's groanings. And believe me, once you're in labor, you can't stop that process. What's in's got to come out. And it's the same spiritually with intercession. You have to give birth to this spiritual baby. Now, intercession can work with things. It might be about strongholds over a country, a nation, a church that's got to be interceded for, that's got to be spiritually fought for so that it can be overcome, so that something new can be born, so that the birthing process can be complete, and then there will be this baby. Something will be born spiritually. New life. That's what intercession brings, is new life. I think a couple of months ago, it might even be last year, I remember we had a prayer meeting on a Thursday night here at Coast. And we had pizza and we had a nice time. And then we started, I think Joanne was still here playing the keyboard. And she came and she helped us out. And she was playing the keyboard and I remember I looked up. And I remember looking at Bruce and he was in an intercession. And he was sitting there and he was sobbing. And it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. He was busy with intercession. It was taking place right here in our church. But a lot of us don't know about these things. So we try to suppress our emotions. You might be home alone and you start praying. Why am I crying, God? Why am I crying? I've got to pull myself together. Got to pull myself together. And we stop it. And we try and we stop it. But if we just say, God, do what you want to, the Holy Spirit moves, and He moves so powerfully. And then the next department, if I can put it like that, army department I have is military. And that is the ground combat people that's in an army. And that's all our prayer warriors, right? So you get two different kind of prayers. Well, actually, there's more like three different departments, I would say. I would say the first one is when you pray, obviously in a understandable tongue, like I'm talking to you now, you all can understand me. And then I could pray and it can be an earthly tongue, but you might not understand me. It might be German, Latin, American, right? But yet we still understand it. And I want us to look at 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17. It's a two-worded verse. It just says, pray continuously. Pray continuously. And that is how we do it. We pray all the time. Pray in your thoughts. Pray out loud. Pray when you go to the bathroom. Pray in the bath. Pray in bed. Pray with your children. Pray when you're upset. Pray when you're in the car. Pray continuously. So some of us are like born prayer warriors. If you ask them, what should I do about the situation? Pray. Not seek counsel or get all the facts. Pray. It's the answer for everything is to pray. Those are our prayer warriors. Now, not all of us are prayer warriors. I am a worshiper. I love to worship. Prayer is not my first go-to. Will is a prayer warrior. To him, prayer is everything. You should pray for everything. And yes, it's right. He functions very well in that department. I can function, and I do function in that department, but it's not where I don't like doing it. I would rather go to praise and worship. So if you feel like praying for everything, then you will probably fit in this department as well. Somebody's stuff is going on. So I want you to think of movies when they are in danger, right? And it might be people that's not even Christian. Even in the movie, they're playing just normal, your everyday person. And I always find it so hilarious when something goes wrong, all of a sudden, they will say, let's pray. It's not even a Christian movie. It's not, and that's exactly how people are, because prayer is the answer to everything. And even the world knows it. They might not know how, but even the world knows that prayer is the answer to everything. And then we get another type, and that is your mortars. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. Yes? Okay. Mortars, M-O-R-T-A-R-S. And that is, I'm comparing it to when we speak in tongues, which is heavenly languages. It's a language that no human, demon, or angel can understand. And guess what? If they can't understand it, they cannot resist it. Sometimes when I don't know what to pray about a situation, I'm not sure what God's will is for the situation. Should we buy a car? Should we not buy a new car? I don't know. My flesh says, yes, pray for the new car. But is that what God wants? I don't know. So I would rather pray in tongues about the situation. Because then it's Holy Spirited, orientated. So whatever the Spirit knows is needed, that is what I will be praying for. And sometimes we don't want to pray for what God has in store for us. Sometimes it's not what we want. Our fleshly body wants to try and stop it, wants to resist it. And then praying of tongues comes up again. Then there's another department, and these are the tracers in the army. I said, God, what is this? What kind of spiritual warfare? What is this? And he says, it's my revelation knowledge. Because what does tracers do? They go in the field, they're on a war zone, they're on the ground, and they will go and they will look for grass that's been moved or bended or animal feces to know who's been there. Where are they going? They look for the detail. And that is God's revelational light. That is when people are very, very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, that can be all of us. And I thought when Graham gave his testimony this morning about yesterday, I thought it is so good what he's saying. Because he says he is not a prophet. Yet today, God used him as a prophet and he gave a word to Bruce. It's the same with this. You might not be a tracer. You might not have revelational knowledge. It's not. It might be something that you feel you don't have 24/7. You don't have access to it all the time. But then moments come and you have this revelational knowledge and God uses you. He reveals stuff to you so that you can pray, intercede, stand in the gap, do spiritual warfare for it. Another thing that falls under this department is the gift of discernment. It's those people, when they come into church, they notice the atmosphere has changed. Something's off. Something is off here. Nobody else notices it. Nobody else. But they will know something is off. And then when they go and they pray about it, God will show them the strategy the enemy is trying to use in that department or in that place. So what I wrote down here, as I said, a good example will be a head of a department. So let's say Will comes in and he discerns that there's something spiritually off at this. Nikki, I'm going to use your kids department just as an example. because you're sitting right in front of, sitting right in front of me. I'm standing in front of you. So let's say your kids department. So Nikki is our kids pastor, and she does an amazing job. Nothing here will be applicable to her. But let's say Nikki comes in and I see something is off. I don't know what it is, but I'm just discerning something is spiritually off all of a sudden. And I go and I pray, and I realize, oh, wait a minute. I see this, there's something, this change in Nikki. So she's very snappy, very controlling all of a sudden, right? Don't know what's going on. And then the Holy Spirit reveals to me, she's got a boyfriend. It's not of God, this relationship, for argument's sake. And there's an influence there. And it's coming out in the kids department. And now there's a spirit of control that it's trying to infiltrate this kids department. But I picked it up because there was just something off with Nikki. That's a tracer. It's discernment. God is showing me. I'm discerning something is off there. And then God reveals to me the whole plan. Now I can pray against this. I can do spiritual warfare against this. And it will not get into Nikki's life. And it will not get into our church. And it will not get into our kids' ministry. And these children will not be lost. They will not be subject to false teachings or whatever the case could be or whatever it is. Right? Because the gift of discernment is functioning in the church. Do you see how all of this is also to protect us? It's to protect us. Again, it's love. God is protecting us. And then the last one, and this is one that I love the most, and it's the recce's in an army. These are the people that does all the close combat, and they are hands-on. They don't pray from afar. They're not quiet and subtle. They are in the front. They are there. They're actively busy all the time. And I want us to look at Luke 10, and I actually want you to write down, to go read the entire chapter of Luke 10. I wrote down here verse 1 to 24, but I cannot go through the whole section. So go home and go read the whole section so you can actually see what it's about, because there's a lot of meat to the section. But I want us, I think you can go to the second slide, go to the next one. I want to do, verse 17 and 19 first. This is actually a scripture we all know really, really well. It says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. I have given you the authority. We all know the scripture so well. But there's actually something way in the beginning of this chapter that's really important. And now I would like you to go to verse 1. It reads, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and to every place where he was about to go. Now you can go and read about it, but it was when God sent out the 72 people and they had to go do various things, and if what they had to do if they were welcomed and what to do if they were not welcomed, etc. And I thought this is really interesting because we know the scripture, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, but then right in the front, in the beginning, God says, I'm sending out two by two. Why? So I've asked Peter to come and help me demonstrate something to you. So I want you to think about the movies, right? You're watching an action-packed, filled movie with a little bit of blood and war and everything that's bad is in it, right? But he is the cop in the movie. Okay, he is the solution. And he's going to enter this building. And the enemy is in the building. He doesn't know where the enemy is. There's quite a few people there with guns. They're going to be shooting at him, right? So you enter the building. There we go. So what he doesn't know is, carry on, I'm one of the enemies. Okay, don't be that quick, please. I've got to get to you. tired to get to you. Yeah, turn your back to me. So he's looking that way, right? I'm one of the enemies. What he doesn't know is I'm behind him and I can shoot him in the back, right? It's an open target. This is a complete open target. I can shoot him. But what happens if we've got 2x2? So Graham's, he also agreed to be my little prop. So now they're going into the scene, 2x2. I can't get Graham. I can't get Peter's back. I can't get the opening because, okay, you guys can stand. Turn so the people can see your, like, yeah, there we go. Stand like this. Yeah, turn. Okay, you guys can stand still. The fact of the matter is, I can't now get to Peter's back because the moment I'm trying to, you're going to see it. You're going to protect him. And that's what happens when we go 2x2. When we pray for stuff and we're not alone and we are together, Peter is praying for something alone. The devil might come with and lie. And he's got nobody to see it except himself. But he's exposed to the back. But now they pray together. Who's going to see this lie I'm trying to get? He's going to see it. He's going to stop the lie. He's going to shoot back. He's going to cover his back. 2x2. There's power when we go together. Thank you. You both can go sit down. Thank you so much, guys. There's power when we go 2x2. Sometimes when we're in a situation and we want to pray for something, we are so consumed by the situation. It is so big. It's all around us that we cannot see the plan of the enemy. But when we're praying with somebody that is not part of it, somebody that is objective, not in that inner circle, and then they can see it because they are covering you. I see it all the time with people that I seek for mentorship and praying. They are so in the situation. They don't see the lies the enemy tell them. They don't see it, and the enemy is having a free-for-all, going at them, shooting them in the back. Spiritual warfare, go 2x2. And then it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Now, I am not at all saying that if you go alone that you will be harmed. And that is the key for you not falling. But I am saying that there's power in this. There's power in the context of going 2x2. So if you're struggling, don't do it alone. I want us to look at Ephesians 6, verse 13 to 18. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when, not if, when the day of the evil comes, because it will come, because we are on the storm, just like the ducks, we are on the water, the storm will be coming. Not if, when. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of the evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of God, and pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And I want you to take note of this word requests. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. How much even more does this entire scenario make sense? Because we are at war. Jeremiah 48 talks about a prophecy against Moab. And this prophecy was given against Moab because they were pride and arrogant, and they were idolatrous. So the kingdom of Moab is known as Moabites. Moabites, yes. So I want us to look at verse 10. It says, a curse on anyone who is lax in doing the Lord's work. A curse on anyone who keeps their sword from blood shed. Rickies get their hands dirty. They take on the spirit, causing division, lust, or pride. If you go read the prophecy for Moab, it wasn't physical bloodshed he was talking here about either. It was a prophecy. Therefore, we have to fight. We are a soldier. If you don't know how to fight, then you are going into the war without the proper armor on. You're going into the war and you have not been trained for combat. We have some war veterans here and we have some people that's been to war, that's got military training sitting amongst us. If you did not receive that training, you would not be able to stand when you've got to do your job. Jesus won the fight. But we are in this world. Not of this world. We are in this world and we have to fight in this world. And then there's one last one. It's a form of spiritual warfare that we have no control over, but I want you to be aware of it. And that is the Air Force, which is the angels of God. That wars on our behalf. And I want us to look at a few scriptures. Hebrews 1 verse 14 says, angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. They were sent to serve us. That doesn't mean we can go and command them to do stuff. God sends them to do certain things. They are sent to just to look at God and to say how holy he is. But there's warrior angels sent to protect us, to look after us. If we look at Psalm 91, verse 12 to 11, 11 and 12, it says, for he will command his angels regarding you to protect and defend and guard you in all your ways of obedience and service. They, the angels, will lift you up in their hands so that you do not even strike your foot against a stone. Wow! We have them on earth. We just can't see them, but they are here among us fighting for you. You know, sometimes I get the picture of a toddler. Now they can see something might be right in front of them, a situation or a ball. It's right there. If you think about somebody, maybe a better example would be if you're in the water. If you throw a toddler or somebody that cannot swim in the water, there can be a saving aid right next to them, but they will not know to grab it because they don't know it's there. Because they are so frantic in the water, they don't see it. And I think sometimes it's the same with us. Ask God to show you the angels around you, in your situations, in your work, when you're driving the car. Will and I, we often pray when we go on journeys, on vacations. We say, God, send your angels around our car to protect us. Let them swerve the car when it needs to be swerved. Let them take the steering wheel. God, send them to protect us, please, Lord. Then I want us to look at 2 Kings 6, verse 15 to 17. It reads, the servant of the man of God got up early and went out. And behold, there was an army with horses and chariots encircling the city. Elijah's servant said to him, oh no, my master, what are we to do? And Elijah answered, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elijah prayed and said, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elijah. Angels all around us. God, show me. Why could God show it to them and not to us? Ask him. They prayed and said, God, show me the angels. Show it to me. This morning, before you guys got here, I was praying for 30, 40 minutes upstairs in the kids' room where I can't be disturbed, praying for God to send the angels to be in this place today, to speak to people, to prepare the way. That's actually what I prayed. I prayed for the angels to prepare the way. And I could see God coming in on a chariot while I was praying. It was amazing. And then I have a testimony to share with you here. When I was about 14 years old, I did something that was not really good. I was naughty. I did something really bad. And my parents found out about it. But my dad had a massive anger issue. And he was really upset. And legitimately, he should have been upset. But the way he expressed his anger in our house was not okay. So that night, he started to hit me. And he hit me so badly that I fell, and after I fallen, he started to kick me wherever he could. And next to my head was a sculpture, a pure wooden solid sculpture, quite heavy, of a giraffe. And it was right there, and he was still there, and he was kicking me, and I was curled up trying to protect myself, and he picked up this massive wooden sculpture and he wanted to break it on my head. That night he would have killed me. But that very moment when he wanted to do that, my mom was there trying to stop him. And for many of you here do know my mom. She comes and she visits often. And if you know her, you'll know that she has no physical strength. She really does not, especially upper body. If you give her 5 liters of ice cream to carry from here to the back, it's fine. But ask her to carry it around the block and she's going to struggle. She doesn't have upper body strength. And in that moment, she took my hand, my dad's hand, and she put it there. And when I opened my eyes, I saw an angel with my mom, keeping my dad's hand there and putting it down. It saved my life that night. It saved my life that night. My dad would have killed me. Wow! Wow! What a privilege for me to have seen that. He's given testimonies here where he saw angels on his side when he was being electrocuted. And the angel just put his sword up and opened his hand so he could let the cord go, and he was not electrocuted. They are here, but are we open? Do we say, God, show us? Show us your power, show us your glory. Or are we so consumed with ourselves that we don't see what God is doing? So my question today is, where do you fit in all of this? So you don't have to function in only one of these prayer types alone. This is all part of spiritual warfare. You can function in all of them. God can use you an all-rounder, because believe me, if there's no prophet to prophesy, he will use somebody to get the job done. Even if they're not a prophet. But he will use somebody that is willing to stand in the gap. Somebody says, yes, Lord, I lay my life down and I will fill this gap for your glory, for your power, for you, Father God, because I am in awe of you. But see, sometimes life keeps us so busy that we cannot fight effectively in this war. And that is the strategy of the devil. We focus on the fact that I lost my job. I lost my job. I lost my job. But what we can't see is that, oh, actually, the enemy wanted you to lose your job. And yes, you did. But what is the strategy behind that? Yes, you lost your job because the enemy wants you to be so focused on that that you won't be coming to do prayer nights anymore, because now you are depressed. Now you are hurting. Now you are upset because A, B, and C has happened in your life. Now you are removed from the prayer meetings where you actually should be getting built spiritually. Now you're ineffective. Where if you saw that, say, okay, God, well, I lost my job. Maybe this is from you, maybe it's not from you, but I know you're going to provide, and I will still be pitching up to that prayer meeting. I will still be going to Gaze Community Bible Study. And I will still be learning from the Word of God, and I will fill my thoughts with truth. 2. You think the enemy will win if you keep doing that? No, he won't win. He will fall. Sometimes the enemy keeps us so earthly minded, so we do not see the spiritual war that's going on. We think the fight is against us, but it's to keep us from our calling, inevitably. Now I want us to go back to 2, and I'm ending with this, my last scripture. I want us to go back to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. We read it earlier, but I have put on the Amplified version. And I want us to read this. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and very exalted and proud things that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ." That is life-changing. That is life-altering. So now, how do we put this into action? Because it's great, I can give you this message, but how do we actually go ahead and we do this? So when we pray, say, "God, I come and I take every thought captive in the name of Jesus Christ, and I submit it to your perfect will in Jesus' mighty name." That right there was spiritual warfare. It's 100% scriptural based. It's just what we read. It's 100% scriptural based, and I proclaim it with authority in the Spirit, and so it shall be. You know, our thoughts is the thing the devil gets us on the most. Sometimes we sit and we say, "I can't do this. I'm not strong enough for that. I'm not good enough for this." But you see, when you go two by two, the person that's covering your back says, "Oh, wait a minute, you saying you're not strong enough, you saying you're not big enough, you say you're not proud enough, you say you're not good enough." No, no, that's a lie of the enemy. And he starts praying and he says, "I come against every thought that's currently in you in the name of Jesus Christ that's not aligned with the scripture of God, and I submit it to God's will in the name of Jesus Christ." And all of a sudden, the revelational light is activated, and you see, "Oh, wait a minute. I am good enough. Why do I keep doubting myself?" Two by two. Keep it scriptural. Then you can't go wrong. So here's the second question I have for you today. How well do you know your Bible? So that you can pray things like this. How well do you know your Bible? Have you been trained? Knowing your Bible is training. These are the bullets. This is the warfare, the Word of God. Can you use it when the enemy comes, or do you fall because you have not been trained? You'll always keep learning. I don't know the whole Bible, but there's key scriptures that I know. This is one of them. Use it every single day. And sometimes my back is open, and then Will is there and he says, "No, but remember, Nicole," and we pray. So this is a lot of information. Before I came here, I said to God, "I think today we're not giving people dessert to eat. It's not comforting and nice and fresh and sweet. And we're not giving them baby food. These are nutritional vegetables with big steak and a sauce. And you're going to have to chew on this. Go home and chew on it. And say, God, use me for intercession. God, use me to stand in the gap. Maybe your work is falling apart because you should be standing in the gap for what's going on at your work. The Spirit's behind it. But all you're seeing is my job. And yes, your job, but lift yourself up from the situation. Get a spiritual perspective. Look at the map of what's going on. change occurs, the devil trembles when we take up our rightful position. And I end it off and I said, it's life-changing and it's life-altering. And I purposely chose those pictures as well. I actually bought them. We have the right to use them. I bought them from an artist that does Christian art. You'll keep standing even though the enemy comes if you've got the blood of Jesus and you war with him. God, I come to you and I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you, Father God, that the word that has gone out here today, that it will be a revelational light that shines into the people's hearts here today. I ask, Father God, that you will break it open even more when they leave this place today. That you will show them that there's way more to Christianity than that what they might have been aware of. That there is so much fun and so much power and joy in this, Father. That because you loved us, you gave us the same resurrectional power that Jesus Christ had. And we have the same authority as Jesus. And we can trample on scorpions and we will not be harmed. Teach us how to take up our armor. Teach us how to fight spiritually, how to move like you want us to move. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.